This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to Audible.com, go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack.
What was that?
Just a child of the night, Jonathan. Come. Sit here beside me on the veranda.
And to what do I owe this dubious pleasure? This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to FilmSack. You must be here to talk about a movie. Well, by damn it, so are we. My name is Scott Johnson. This is FilmSack, and this is the show where we talk about ancient movies of ill repute. And we talk about them right here on the show, in front of you and in front of your neighbors, in front of your mother, and in front of her dog. Joining me today is Randy. I'll just come over anytime I like, Jordan.
Hey, Scott. You know, when I was a teenage boy, still a virgin, been waiting for like a year for my girlfriend to finally put out, and she finally said she would, the only thing in the world that could have stopped me was an opportunity to look out the window with my binoculars at night. You can just keep those boobs to yourself, girly.
He knew she was going to come out as a prominent gay lesbian one day, though.
A gay lesbian.
Yeah, a gay lesbian. Which kind of neutralizes her and makes her a heterosexual female. Right, exactly. Also joining us, that other voice you hear, is Brian Burgerface Ibbett.
I get that a lot, actually.
I was going to say, that's not from the movie. I'm just calling you that in general.
Thanks a lot. You know, I've seen vampire movies done well, and I've seen vampire movies done poorly. Can you guess which category has vampires who visit nightclubs while wearing cable knit sweaters?
I have some questions about that scene, so don't forget that when we get there.
Oh, I will.
For you specifically, I have questions. They're music-based. And then finally, rounding us out today, we have Brian Window Boobies Dunaway.
Hi, I'm Charlie, the procrastinating vampire killer. Is it dark yet? You guys want some pudding? My mom just made it. It's cooling in the fridge. We still got like 30 minutes at least before it gets dark. Speaking of minutes, have you guys seen my rad digital Casio watch?
Wait.
Oh, Brewster, you're so cool.
Oh, I knew there was more. I was hoping Don't Do Drugs Again this week, but
there was such a completely overt gay relationship there.
Yeah, those guys. Yeah. Well, yeah. Especially if we look at the career of Evil later on, but we'll talk about that in a few minutes.
Evil Ed.
Because Evil had some interesting choices in his film career.
He had no choices. That dude had that voice in his... He was destined.
So if you haven't figured it out, we're talking about what many people believe to be an 80s classic in the horror genre. I might disagree, but Scott...
Horror/comedy genre.
Horror. I'm going to let Scott Fletcher tell you what it is, and then we'll talk about whether or not it holds up in that way.
Fright Night. Nobody believes teenager Charlie Brewster, played by William Ragsdale, when he discovers that his suave new neighbor, Jerry Dandridge, played by Chris Sarandon, is a vampire. So, when the bloodsucker starts stalking Charlie, he turns to has-been actor Peter Vincent, played by Roddy McDowall, famed for portraying a ghoul hunter. Unfortunately for the would-be vampire slayers, Dandridge has set his sights on Charlie's girlfriend in this clever spoof of the horror genre.
It's a vampire killer.
Oh.
Did y'all not constantly want to actually just go, it's vampire slayer?
Yeah, it's a slayer, yeah. Dude. I did want to constantly go, thank goodness we finally got a movie outside of one where he's covered in monkey mask with Roddy McDowall in it, because I love this guy. Yeah. He makes everything I watch better, and he's on my list of actors of an older generation that I will watch in anything. I love Roddy McDowall. But
yeah, right. straight up best thing in the movie for me.
I have never seen this movie. So this was a brand new.
You've never seen this movie?
No, no. So I'm excited about this because I know, I think all three of you have before.
Nope.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Really?
Team Ibbit. Yeah. Team Ibbit. Gibbit.
Wow.
Nope. First time for me as well.
This was a first viewing for me.
Oh my gosh.
You guys have got to be kidding me.
Team Jib.
That's it. I'm hanging up.
Jibaway.
Jibaway. No, Jibalux because Dunaway's on his own. So
I'm out of here.
So hold on though. This is important though, because Dunaway, you saw this movie when you were younger and you probably have an affinity for it of some sort.
Yes.
Because everyone I talked to who saw it when it came out thinks this is a classic. They can't wait to see it again. They can't wait for us to talk about it. They can't wait for the remake, although I don't know why they're so excited about the remake, which is coming, by the way.
I'm excited about it.
I never saw it, so I had no idea what to expect. And I mean, I'll just say it up front. I kind of thought it was dumb.
You know what? I kind of think you're dumb. Because this had everything that you would expect. It was the pinnacle of that early mid 80s kind of puppet horror kind of show.
Mm. Like movie. What? Like Phantasm / The Lost Boys, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, except we're talking about you're using a lot of puppets in transformations, and I just think this is a classic from that time. I mean, at the height of this type of movie, which, by the way, if you don't know, I'm a horror comedy. That's my favorite kind of movie.
Really? Give me an example. Yeah. You love Ghostbusters, right?
Burbs. Right. Yeah. Any of those kind of movies.
Sure.
Those are my favorites.
Okay.
Frighteners. I mean, those are all, horror comedies, and I think it is really good.
Frighteners, a early 90s Peter Jackson joint.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Very good movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when I saw this the first time, I liked it. I liked it a lot. It really spoke to me as an 80s kid at the time.
Okay, fair enough. Randy, how'd you come away from your first viewing? You can see as you watch it, oh, I can see why people really dug on this. And I'm not just saying, oh, it doesn't hold up because the hairstyles are bad or that actor's stupid now, or I don't mean those things. I just mean like sort of story and plot and whether there were any genuine scares and stuff. How did that land for you?
It was mediocre. There were times when I was really digging the film, usually when Roddy McDowall was actually on screen and not on the show within the show, but
right.
Out interacting with the other characters. I really, really enjoyed the schlock. I really did. And I always want to get to where Brian Dunaway is on films like we've talked about, we've talked about Bubba Hotep, where he was when we watched Convoy, that kind of thing with the schlock. I always want to try to get there. What took it away for me was Chris Sarandon, who will forever be Prince Humperdinck.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't help that, and it hurts the whole movie because I need him to be distinct, and he just can't,
Yeah.
But I will say then there's a huge benefit when you're watching this movie because the makeup and special effects are so good. And so whenever you take an actor that's bothering me because I don't think they're doing a very good job and cover their face in amazing makeup, it's very entertaining to me.
Yeah.
And this film has some of the best examples I've ever seen. There's a makeup effect in the last big action sequence in this film that is just mind-blowing to me, where they've made an actress's mouth appear to be way bigger than you could even really stretch someone's lips over a prosthesis. And I don't know how they did it. I don't care to know how they did it. It was beautiful.
Well, yes. And I've talked on the show before about that big mouth thing that I have such a phobia about. And that totally worked here. Like that brought that back. No problem.
Oh man.
Freaked me out quite a bit, actually.
They did some, just to get to the bottom of it. They did something where they darkened the area around her mouth and then they put this fake mouth over it that she was able to move by lowering her jaw.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. Like I've not seen it. This movie's 23, 24 years old. I've not seen anything since there's really been a trend.
Yeah.
There's a trend since the turn of the century to do the most natural makeup you can, the Dark Knight is the ultimate example.
Yeah.
And I wish more people would put this kind of effort into making people look so different.
Practical effects are awesome. So Ibbit, how did it taste to you?
It's funny because I'm so in tune with what Randy described, with the exception of one thing. Actually, Chris, is it Sarandon or Sarandon? Sauron. Yeah.
Lord Sauradon.
I didn't have as much of a problem with him as I did with William Ragsdale, who plays the main teenage character, Charlie.
Yeah. Charlie.
Oh, you mean Screamer McYelly Pants? That guy?
Yeah. Why? Because he's always talking like this? Did that bother you?
Just so overacting. Like, you know, there's one scene where the vampire lands on his roof and he stares straight up, and then footstep, you know, that the vampire takes on the roof and you hear him, he moves his face over, you know, like, like he's actually watching it. Yeah. If you think, when I was finished with this movie, I was thinking, God, could you imagine a Michael J. Fox in the lead character role? How much better this movie would have been? It would have been stellar.
I agree, yeah. But I'm gonna throw a vote in the direction of William Ragsdale for his portrayal of a character this first and last, the last season of Justified, which was their first season. And I love Justified to death. Absolutely just adored that series. I can't wait for it to come back. He played a kind of a squirrely character, played this husband to the main character's ex-wife, who was like wrapped up in some bad financial dealings and stuff. And he was kind of squirrely and goofy and a little chubby. Really good, though. Like, kind of knocked it out of the park. And I knew the minute I saw this movie, I'm like, oh my gosh, I know this kid. Where do I know this kid? And it was from that. And he's certainly refined his skills since those days. So, hats off to that guy for doing a lot of good TV work since. But he's really annoying in this.
I want to say that I don't think it was his acting. I think it was the direction. I think it was on purpose. This film really, the kids, the teenagers are very 50s. This film is made during a time during the 80s when slasher films were all the rage, and even comment on it in the movie, the vampires are gone. And so we've got these teenage kids who are basically kids from the 50s. So they're overacting is kind of that throwback. So I think it was in the direction. I think it was on purpose.
Yeah, you're probably right. Director is Tom Holland. He also did the screenplay. This guy went on to do Child's Play, not the charity for gamers, but the the stupid doll, Chucky doll movie. Thing. Yeah, the Chucky movie, the first Chucky movie, and went on to do a number of other horror movies. I think, you know, as well directed as any of these kind of things. I kind of had a Beetlejuice vibe the whole time, to be honest.
Well, it's funny also mentioned that the guy's overacting. I mean, if I went back and I said, hey, you guys, I just watched Star Wars for the first time, it really sucks because that Mark Hamill, he's too whiny. if we had Michael J. Fox in there, that movie would have been awesome.
Actually, it would have been.
He's built around this guy and his ability to convince his friends that, you know, there's a vampire next door. But he does it with such... You know,
Mark. May I mention Mark Hamill again, a Jedi trying to
I totally agree with Brian Dunaway. This film was made when Happy Days was still on the air.
Yeah.
You know, and by the way, for those of you who grew up on that 70s show, we used to have a version called that 50s show. It was called Happy Days.
That's true. And it had Mr. Miyagi in it.
This kind of thing probably plays a lot more entertaining in 1985 than it does in 2010 if you're seeing the movie for the first time. Yeah. I completely agree with that. But I would have liked someone who was younger in those roles, and I think Patrick Dempsey could have been perfect for this movie.
That. That's a good pick, sure. Yeah,
William. See Thomas Howell.
Yeah, he'd have been all right. He was too busy doing Soul Man. Which surely will be on the show at some point in the future.
What did you guys think about that whole puppet horror genre, like the Gremlins, you know, all the Freddy Krueger movies use so much of all that over-the-top kind of gore puppetry? What did you guys think about that? I thought this was it actually held up better than I thought it was going to.
Oh, it's the best bits of the film. In fact, if you ask me, those are all related to one seminal moment in film, which is in Raiders of the Lost Ark when you have that dude melt at the end.
Yeah.
And to me, all movies after that that did stuff like that, they all fell into that category. And it's something I sorely miss. And Randy was talking about practical effects. This movie excels at practical effects, and I could have maybe done with more. The movie is weakest for me when it's Boy Who Cried Wolf story for too long. And you know, weird mishaps like the guys, you know, you can't see the vampire in the reflection but you can see his buddy in the reflection, who's also a vampire. And you can see him at the dance club in a mirror. I mean, there were a lot of like broken little weird things like that where they weren't really paying attention to that. Yeah. But when they got down to the nitty gritty supernatural stuff, the makeup was excellent. The stuff I read said, you know, the typical 8 or 9 hours in a chair getting your makeup done before you shoot, kind of stuff going on. It was very impressive. That stuff was really well done. Liked it a lot. Yeah,
and this was a couple of years before Lost Boys, wasn't it?
Yep.
And Lost Boys, yes. I remember being the first place I ever heard the myth of, and I know it goes back earlier than this, but the inviting a vampire into your house is the only way, yes, that he can actually come in. And
see, wasn't that in Salem's Lot? A lot of this stuff was kind of roped together by Stephen King.
Well, everybody steals everything from Stephen
Did
King.
Did you guys watch any horror movies during the 80s?
Well, no. I mean, that's true, though. Stephen King, I mean, I think Salem's Lot is the basis for a lot of the good vampire ideas. Yeah. And there's stuff in there that certainly didn't come before him. So, yeah, I think you could probably give him some credit for that.
Kudos. I think I love the fact that they broke away from – they went back. I mean, it's like almost like they went back and researched some stuff because – like the vampires being able to turn into different animals besides just a bat. You know, the bat's the classic and had been that way for years. And so I liked it.
Main chick was Amanda Bierce, or Bierce, however you say her name. She was the next door neighbor to Ted and Peg Bundy.
Marcy.
Yep, Marcy. Well,
let me jump back really quickly to address that point, because I don't think his buddy was a vampire.
Oh, was he not? What was he?
No, because he was out during the day. He was, you know, answering the door when...
He's a daywalker.
Well, what was his... But he died like a crazy bug or whatever happened.
He died, he died from a stake in the chest, but and turned into slime and sand.
That was weird. I didn't get that whole thing, but
it was like,
I think
there was also a classification like pseudo werewolf. You know, like there was this
evil
semi vampire in this film.
But evil.
Some lore about vampires that do say that they're, you know, shapeshifters.
Oh yeah, well that's true. But what the deal with the main vampire biting evil in the neck and turning him into a werewolf kind of threw me for a loop, because you're not a werewolf, you're a vampire, like big time vampire. So why did evil turn into a werewolf? Was it to prepare for his illustrious porno career that was to follow? I don't know.
Oh no,
Stephen Joffreys or Jeffreys, I guess. I have some things to say about him. I'm going to read some of his credits, and you guys are going to enjoy it. But anyway, back to Amanda.
I liked it because it was kind of like you could go, okay. I mean, it made each character very distinctive. It's like if they'd all turned into demon bats, it would have been boring. I like the fact that they could change into different types of animals.
I just don't like that they had no
explanation for it.
Well, even on the surface, it's like, hey, look now. Well, we're bored with vampires, so hey, look, he's a werewolf now. Mm-hmm. No need to explain. He just, you know, he got bit like everybody else, but.
He's not a werewolf.
And plus, he ran around a ton with fangs.
He's a shapeshifter.
He had
He still is affected by a cross on the forehead. And,
right.
Well, that's because he's not as powerful. Yeah, he's not as powerful. You have to have a true... Did you guys even watch this movie? No, I'm just kidding.
I want to help Scott out here. If I had told you before we ever started making Film Sack episodes to pick two people that had been on Married with Children... as the first two that we would do films where they were a major part of, I seriously doubt you would have picked Marcy Darcy and Jefferson Darcy. Like, that's just
right.
How could we have not yet seen a film with Ed O'Neill or Katie Siegel or Christina Applegate? Somehow, though, Ted McGinley and Amanda Bierce have gotten right to the top of our list.
Yeah, that's weird. I hadn't thought of that. We have a few, you know, we have some weird crossovers in this show, but that's a strange one. Amanda Bierce, of course, became a super lesbian at one point where she is a major proponent of...
She was bitten by a radioactive lesbian.
I don't think that was it.
Super lesbian. There she goes.
But she was kind of obnoxious and ugly in this to me, so I didn't really care for her character that much.
I think this is the hottest she has ever been in any movie.
I disagree.
I agree with Brian Dunaway on that.
I don't at all. I think she looked... Pugly.
She was way over age for the role. She was like 27 when they made this film.
Which is good because so was he.
I was going to say, it's a good point because, dude, Chris Sarandon getting it on with a high school chick.
Oh, I thought she was so cute and did such a good job. I totally disagree with Scott.
I don't know what it was. Something about it. Maybe it was the hair.
Charlie!
Charlie. And I have some good sound clips that'll help support my position.
All right.
Coming up shortly. Roddy McDowall, of course, always the man. I don't care what garbage he's in. He elevates the movie higher than it would have been. You know, the cool thing about that is I did a little research about him, and nobody hated this guy. Like, he had no enemies. Mm-hmm. He had people inside Hollywood, outside of Hollywood, in all sorts of different industries, in all kinds of different places that just held him in the highest regard. And I guess his funeral was just packed with people back when he died in the late 90s, I want to say. It was right after Bug's Life that he was in. And I don't know. I feel that's one guy I wish was still around doing cool indie movies. You know, there's something about his voice, the way he talks to me, makes me feel good inside. All right, moving on. We have, let's see, I'm trying to find other interesting stuff about cast, and there really isn't. But here's some trivia. A puppet that was created for but not used in another Columbia Pictures production of Ghostbusters. So in Ghostbusters, they were supposed to use this little demon creature puppet bat, and they didn't use it. And they ended up in Fright Night. Now, you guys have to admit,
totally looks like that.
When he's wrestling, that looks like one of those Gozer freaking Keymaster looking animal things.
Mm-hmm. That explains a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And I mentioned Chris Sarandon spent at least 8 hours each time having to put on his makeup. Stephen Jeffries spent as many as 12 hours having werewolf makeup applied, which was required twice. Maybe that's where he got a taste for people putting stuff on his body. I don't know.
You're not going to let it go, are you?
I'm not. This guy went crazy. Like he was well thought of. He was pretty B actor, pretty over the top, pretty ridiculous in this movie. But a lot of people really liked his, you know, his thing, and they liked the other horror movies he did. He was in that called?
He was unique. I liked it. Just be careful what you say, because if a vampire can't kill you right away, he may trash your car in the meantime.
Yeah. But I want to just run down a few of his films since, okay? Just a few of these. These are some pretty...
You're not going to name the gay films. You're going to name the traditional films.
No, I'm going to name some of the gay
and
ones.
Based on the title, we have to guess whether they were...
All right.
I'm going to give you a couple of the gay films just for fun. Sex on the Beach doesn't sound too bad. Sure, whatever. Bring that on.
Yeah, that's a good drink at a bar. I like that.
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah. Virtual Stud, sure, whatever. Mechanics by day, lube job by night.
that's not a movie.
That's too much work. Like if my guy at Jiffy Lube is working as a mechanic all day and then changing out oil at night, I would really like he'd get more sleep.
Yeah. In 1996, Latin Crotch Rockets, big release.
Oh, yeah. Michael Caine was in that one.
Yeah, he was in every Crotch Rocket movie ever.
I think it was an actor they called the Mexican Michael Caine.
Oh, that was it. I also liked him in Hunk Hotel, The Big Screw Up, and also if I really had to pick my favorite, it's probably Leather Buddies or possibly Leather Intrusion Case 2, The Spider's Kiss.
you really should have sprinkled some of his other films, his not gay porno films, throughout that list, like. Because he has movies like At Close Range.
That would have been a good one. Yeah. I like that.
Moon 44.
They still sound like thinly veiled porn titles, but yes.
Exactly. He was in a movie called Heaven Help Us.
I'll give you his most obvious and on the nose one that probably made him decide to get out of the business, because pretty quickly after this he did. It was kind of back to back. It was guys who crave big cocks. I assume it's chickens. I assume that's what he means.
Big chicken. Yeah. Big roosters.
Yes. And then Seaman Training Day. That was a pretty good one as well.
Yeah. That's a Navy film. Yeah.
This episode of Film Sack is not safe for work.
Yes. Well, actually, you know, Seaman Training Day is just a combination of Navy SEALs and, you know, a really gritty cop movie.
Iron Eagle 4. How about that?
There you go.
Right.
Anyway, not to harp too much on that guy. I mean, whatever your gig is your gig. And he's doing new stuff now that is totally out of that business. So, you know, whatever.
Hey, if you can survive the gay porn industry and still act, I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty good. That's hard to do in the film world.
Oh, yes.
Peter Vincent, just a quick note. Peter Vincent, the name of the character that Roddy McDowall played, was a combination of Peter O'Toole and Vincent Price.
Peter Cushing.
Peter actually. Cushing, sorry. Why did I say O'Toole? Yeah, yeah. Peter Cushing.
I was going to say Peter North. Whatever.
I don't know who that is.
Sure you don't.
And you shouldn't Google it.
I do know who that is. But yeah, Peter Cushing, I almost said North again. Peter, for the first time, Peter Cushing, who of course is a awesome face from, you know, horror movies of the past as well as Star Wars. And of course, the other guy, Vincent Price.
Evacuate in a moment of triumph.
Indeed. This movie is noted, I believe, for the loudest kissing scene of all time.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Would you? Yeah. And it happened a couple of times. One was that fake one on TV during the opening credits. And then there was one later where it was actually him and that ugly girl from Married with Children just totally going at it. Just throw that in there again.
Hey, man.
She's, you know what? She looks, I don't know if you guys have seen her lately. She looks great today. She's older. She's like in her late 50s or maybe even early 60s. She looks great. Just holds herself beautifully. Can't say that about every 50 something year old lady, but I just think in pseudo high school, she looked like donkey turd.
Aww.
Just saying.
That's not very nice.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll come back to haunt me. I'm getting someone calling me and I should hang up on them.
It's probably her.
I know. I heard what you said.
I heard what you said, Ted Bundy. Did this movie remind anybody of Disturbia, the Shia LaBeouf movie? Where
I actually haven't seen that movie, so I don't know.
Well, you know what I mean. I mean, no vampires, obviously.
It's like the Rear Window thing.
Yeah, look with the big binoculars.
Rear Window. Yeah,
and no one believes him, and he keeps getting closer and closer to the truth, and people
telling you somebody killed somebody.
That's the worst impression of him.
It's terrible. You know why? Because it's not even him.
It's a home cooking show. Yeah.
How's it go, Brian? I'm trying to set you up, buddy.
That why won't anybody believe me trope? Actually, I think I'm going to fit it in later too. Adults are stupid.
There's plenty of that in this film, especially one adult particular.
I have a new trope too. I want to add when we get a chance.
Oh, really? Give it now. What do you got?
Oh, like anytime it seems like anytime there's a chase on foot, there is always a chase through a kitchen, and there's always an angry chef saying, "Hey, you can't come in here."
Yeah.
Lots of movies. In fact, you could almost pull movies out of a phone book and they wouldn't have it in there somewhere.
Right. Car chases are the least interesting when they take place on a racetrack, right? And they're most interesting when there's lots of stuff to bump into and turn around and so forth. And foot chases have the same rule. When you have people chasing one another on foot, you got to have them knock over crap, throw somebody on a bar, knock a bunch of drinks down. The more stuff, the better. If you had them chasing each other across a field, it would be utterly boring. So
I want to see that.
Yeah, right.
I want to see that, really.
Yeah, this chase down a beach, right?
That'd be great.
It's so thrilling. They just keep running on the sand. But anyway.
There's got to be a fruit cart, and there's got to be a couple guys carrying a big pane of glass.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So there's nothing better than kitchens and open-air markets for foot chases.
Kitchens are great because they've got hot boiling water, big large things of hot boiling water, of nothing always. But hot boiling water, and knives and just, all that great stuff.
And that's a hell of a kitchen for a big nightclub that doesn't have any tables or chairs or, people eating.
Yeah, that's true. That seemed.
Hey, you can't come in here.
What a weird restaurant. Now that you mention it, all they were doing
was
dancing.
It's a weird nightclub.
Yeah, that whole thing was pretty jacked up. And
it's a rave.
Again, I have questions about music coming up later in the show.
Got to admit, the music was pretty good, except for the actual soundtrack itself. I mean, the music that was included was good.
Yes.
Maybe.
So the trope that I am constantly butting heads with is this idea that evil is sexy, vampires are, gods of sex.
Yeah.
I don't understand where it comes from. Didn't vampires used to just be bad and ugly and like the thing to avoid?
Like Salem's Lot vampires. They were ugly as hell.
Sexy Bela Lugosi.
He's dreamy. Let's put glitter on his face.
This film may be right up at the beginning of that transformation to all bad guys, especially monster types, are sexy and they have little waists and they use their tongues and their mouths a lot and whatever.
Yeah.
Nowadays you don't have normal monsters anymore ever. Yeah.
I felt like that was the one of the reasons this felt like such a 50s movie to me was because she was a virgin. And so that harkens back to the 50s when that was a big thing in horror movies, the virgin's going to die, it's a whole big social commentary, but I really felt like that was in there for a reason.
Plus, there's that old trope, and maybe that goes all the way back to Dracula, Bram Stoker's version, which is the girl, the modern day girl, looks like the woman he lost in the past, and and whatever. So I may as well rob that cradle and do your business.
Well, I thought that this particular version of vampires are sexy was just a convenience, right? So he has to eat. You know what I'm saying?
You know what's not sexy?
Sorry, go ahead.
It's a trick I borrowed from Scott Johnson.
Yeah,
so
I know,
he has to eat, so he hires prostitutes, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And if he's going to have a prostitute, you don't want him to look like, you know, Tim Roth. You want him to look sexy when the kid looks through the window and everything. That's great.
Sure.
But they took it that extra step, you know, and they're like, oh, check out this girl's boobs. You know, like she would want to be anywhere near that monster. Yeah. Mm. He has to be a sex god in order to explain it.
Yeah.
Well, that's the reason why I felt like that these vampires were treated as shapeshifters, because that was one thing he did. I mean, when he was in his truest, evilest form, I mean, when he was actually attacked and lost control, he got uglier. When he was in control, he was able to, you know, to put his charms on.
Well, this was that is a progenitor, you could argue, to the Buffy the Vampire Slayer style of vampire, right? Like they get ugly when they're pissed and they're really hot dudes when they're not.
Yeah.
That felt like,
isn't that
felt
also like that a part of that thing that Scott really hates, where as the film goes on, the makeup and effects get better and better, but they don't really give you the good stuff till the very end? Like this film was full of that, you know?
Yeah, I don't like that either. I realize
you want the good stuff up front, right?
I want good stuff throughout. So if you're going to show me a cool mechanical shark harkening back to Jaws 3, show it to me early. Don't show me the fake rubber small one in the lake or the pond or whatever.
In the pool that has to be flipped over by the actors.
Yeah, because then you got to wait until he's actually chewing apart that British guy. That was great. Oh, man, that guy that's on our comments all the time, leaving us all the references to other movies, he's having a heyday today.
Mm-hmm. He is. Yeah.
I just realized we're not doing this for his benefit, I swear, but...
Yeah.
Right? Have we mentioned Hot Shots yet? Because this film... Wait, no, it's not.
Ah, shoot. Heidi. Heidi's a good movie. Not really.
Heidi. That's right. My left foot reminded me of this movie.
Just pulling out of the sky. So, yeah, to me, there was a Buffy kind of thing going on with those kinds of ideas. This movie featured some glamoring where, you know, Marcy just sort of fell for him on the dance floor.
Without Buffy the Vampire Slayer, this movie could have never been made.
Well, no, it's the other way around, though. It's like Buffy borrowed from this or stuff like this. You have to figure Joss Whedon was a fan of this time and this stuff and this teenagers in peril with vampires. It's totally his bag.
Well, and it's a little closer. I mean, you bring up Buffy. It's a little closer to the Christy Swanson and Paul Rubens original, like the movie that the TV show is based on, as far as the comedic aspects, which they had in the TV show, but not as it wasn't just kind of based around kind of a spoof like the movie was, or at least had spoof elements in it.
I forgot Pee-wee was in that.
Yeah, he was the vampire. He was the head, or at least one of the vampires.
Yeah, he was.
He was
great.
The one I remember.
Didn't he have a scene? Didn't he have a scene where he was? Somebody got him in the chest with a stake, and he acted like it was hurting, and it really didn't.
That was
classic, dude. Oh, that was a great time. I would.
there's your sexy vampire right there, Paul Rubens.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. Pick that guy.
But you know, this film made me want to watch The Craft for some reason, which I guarantee has not held up very well.
I've never seen The Craft, so that would be a fun one.
Oh, Scott, you should see The Craft, especially before all of the people in it get into being elderly.
This sounds so wrong. You gotta watch The Craft. It's just so easy to slip that up.
Well, who's the girls in that are? Oh, you're right. They're all getting old.
It's what's her face from Party of Five.
I love her.
Fairuza Balk.
Nev Campbell.
Fairuza Balk.
Yeah.
It's a whole bunch of names that you'd actually get lots of points for on Scrabble.
Yeah. Mid-90s, they were the hotties of movies. Now they're kind of the Lindsay Lohans of their time, sort of. That's not even a good comparison. They're more like, who are they like now? They're like...
more like the Amanda Bierces of their time.
Right. Right. They were the super lesbians of their time. Hey guys, popping in once again to talk about our friends at Audible. They are sponsoring this podcast. We could not be more happy, and I'm going to make a recommendation for a free book that you can get on Audible now. You can get one in the series of the Game of Thrones books. People are raving to me about George R.R. Martin's series called Game of Thrones. I've yet to hear or listen or read any of them, but I want to, so I may pick this up myself. There's a series being made on HBO that will be premiering soon that is based on these books, so I'm super excited about the property in general. You can get that or any other book that Audible has, and they have a ton, for free simply by going to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack. Go there and get your free audiobook today. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm done.
Oh, you're done. I thought you were saying something. Okay, so I was just gonna make a comment that now I forgot. Oh, they introduced a new trope in this movie for vampires that I'd never heard before, and that is that vampires not only eat the apple, they eat the whole thing. They eat the core all the way to the middle. They eat the seeds. They eat the stem.
And they throw out 2/3 of it.
Right. After the one in their hand has been eaten more than the one they threw on the ground, and somehow magically there's more apple there after. It's magic. It's what those guys
What was his thing with apples, man? He always
loved fruit.
Apples. Yeah.
And love the fruit.
Windy breath was a big thing in this movie. Having your own blood dripping pot, that was pretty cool.
I love the only thing that really irritated me about this movie was the fog machine out in front of the house.
Yeah.
That was kind of getting on my nerves.
When you see the streams of fog coming out of the machine, that's kind of a sign that maybe you've got it too close to the front.
Do you think a movie like this would fly today with the depiction of a high school aged girl who likely today would be somebody in their 18 or 19th year rather than some 27-year-old? Movies today featuring teenagers are a lot closer to that age when they actually, you know, cast. But my point is, that was creepy as crap. The guy is not only in flesh years, probably, you know, 37 or something, but in vampire years is probably a couple hundred years old. And that whole scene just struck me as just creepy.
All vampires are pedophiles.
You've got that problem with every vampire.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be 300 and the object of his desire is going to be...
It's always teenagers. You think one of them would at least go for some older women from
That's
time
what
to
I'm
time.
Saying. Why couldn't he go? Because to him, it's still super young either way. So go for some 30-year-old. And I realize, okay, well, your whole premise of your movie just changed. But it creeped me out some. I just, like, they're doing this remake with Colin Farrell and, the David Tennant guy.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Who else?
The David Tennant guy. That's
you know what I'm talking about. You know, the David Tennant guy.
Every time anything like BBC comes up, you can tell Scott doesn't ever watch Doctor Who.
I like Doctor Who, but I haven't seen the whole thing, and I know he's everyone's favorite right now, and blah, blah, blah. That's all fine. I'm just saying, and that I'm sure the remake has got good intentions, but how much of that are they going to do? Like, in today's age, are we going to have some teenage girl dropping trow for this guy?
Well, this movie was really kind of it was a big horror hit movie in its time, which kind of was kind of surprising. I think it took them by surprise. And, you know, of course, every movie that comes out, you want to do good. But I really think this movie did better than it was expected to.
Well, it could have been.
It was just at the right place, the right time, had the right music, had the right actors, just had everything.
All right. Well, you liked it, obviously.
I loved it. Even if Jerry does come in over to Charlie's house the first time you see him, he's drinking a Bloody Mary and it looks more like a glass of V8 with a wilted up celery stick.
Good point. Well, I have some clips. We should probably play some of these. I got a ton because there was some good stuff this time around. So I captured a few of them. First one is the TV lady. This is the very beginning. And this TV lady just made me laugh. It was intentionally cheesy, but it was worth capturing. Here it is.
Why are you looking at me so strangely, Nina?
Not you, Jonathan. Your neck.
Has anyone ever told you it was beautiful? No.
Come. Lay your head on my breast.
Oh my gosh, lay your head on my breast. What? That's pretty intense for Peter Vincent's old movie.
Oh yeah.
Not bad. And then there's this, let's get into bed. Oh, sorry. It was a few days ago I captured these and I can't remember exactly, but I do remember the scene. So I'll just let it speak for itself.
Charlie, I can't stop it.
Jesus, Amy, give me a break. We've been going together almost a year and all I ever hear is Charlie, stop it.
I'm sorry, Amy.
Wait for it.
Me too. I'm just scared, that's all.
Scared of your angry acting.
Let's get into bed.
Whoa, Marcy, come on.
Let's go.
So, she, you know, pretty quickly does that 180, doesn't she?
Yeah, I was going to say, it seemed a little quick. And you know what? When I hear him yell, I know what I'm reminded of. And you guys, somebody said it earlier that that these directors are children of the 50s. There's a 50s quality to it. Like, there's a weird.
There really is.
Like, come on, guys. I don't know. I can't even do it.
Holy cow. When are you going to give it up?
Yeah, it's totally that. Poor guy.
Honestly, I mean, there was. when they were doing their scenes at the beginning, I was thinking, wow, this is very reserved. I might be able to let the kids watch it. And about 5 seconds later, boobies. Yeah. And so I was like, all right, kids out, 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 out.
Yeah, there was only...
Not just a quick flash either. I mean, this is...
No, it was a lingering... Yeah, that was a lingering, leering shot.
You might want to cover up.
Yeah, throw a little blanket over the TV like my dad did. That's a good idea. Let's play a lover spat, 14 seconds of lover spattage.
First you want to make love and then you don't.
Amy? Oh. Charlie? What's wrong?
Nothing, Mom. Mm-hmm.
Come in here, you two.
Are you kids having a lover's spat?
No, Mom, nothing. Oh my gosh.
You know what my mom would do if she heard my girlfriend go, first you want to make love and then you don't. And first of all, what teenager said that ever?
Yeah. Are y'all having a lover's spat?
You know what? We're going to make love. I'm sorry, dude. The year was 1985 or whatever. That didn't happen. No one talked like that. Anyway, if my mom heard me say that, she wouldn't go, oh, what's wrong, you kids? You having a lover spat? Well, that's okay. I'm just freaking in my robe, watching my program.
Scotty, you need to get back up there and do that girl.
Y'all still calling making love?
I'm calling your mother right now.
That was ridiculous.
Honey, if you keep calling it making love, you're going to be a virgin forever.
Yes, indeed. So this film had what every movie seemed to have in that time, and that was a stupid friend sidekick who was goofy.
This guy was the model, by the way, for Beavis, I think.
I think so, too.
When you look at his eyebrows, his chin juts out a little bit, his teeth are crooked.
Yep. It's funny you should say that. He reminds me of River Phoenix in some scenes.
Oh, that's true. There's a little River Phoenix in him, for sure.
It's got to be the hair.
Yes, the hair.
Yeah, and if Beavis, I mean, you know, Beavis's greatest hope in life would be to go on to do many porno films.
That's right.
So why not? So here's meeting Evil for the first time.
That bastard! Why didn't he tell us he was going to spring a pop quiz?
Well, that's the point to a pop quiz, Brewster, to surprise you.
Thanks, Teach.
Hey, Amy.
What's wrong?
Amy. She finally find out what you really like.
Buzz off,
Evil. Oh, call me anything you want. Only you're the one failing Trig, not me.
Do you think that's the same voice that he uses in his porn movies?
Yes.
Hey, what are you doing back there?
Well, I'm not the one failing Trig.
And he's poking his buddy in the chest with his index finger while he's saying, he's like really poking the dude. I'm like, man, if anybody, I don't care what age I was, if anybody other than my mother had ever done that to me, I would have freaking punched their nose.
I think this is a movie where the director really spent a lot of time saying, just be as loud and as forceful as you can. Like, overact is what he told them to do. Everyone did it. They all overacted. They all smirked for everything. It was all broad strokes. There was no subtlety to any of the performances except for maybe Roddy McDowall.
And I was going to say Prince Humperdinck. He had a lot of glaring, you know, but he didn't, you know, like overact like that.
Yeah, I could give you that.
And I'd say that Roddy McDowall did have those moments too when Charlie's chasing him through the parking lot, and he's kind of doing some overacting there about get away from me, you know what?
Yeah, that's true. All of them were.
I think in the script, they were getting confused because they kept saying each other's names constantly. I think they were not understanding where to read the names at because it was constantly like, Charlie, Amy. I mean, it was just like throughout the whole movie, it started to really get on my nerves.
Well, you love this movie, so.
I love the movie, so it was kind of weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
I would like to know how many times the name Charlie was said during this movie.
Too many times. But there is a scene where Hey Kid is said, and I don't remember what this was for, but I'll play it now. Oh, no.
Hey, kid.
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing? Nothing. Oh, yeah? Would just make sure that it stays that way. Kid.
Okay, I like that guy.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
He cracked me up. He was he looked like just plain normal. This guy's not going to impress me at all with any sort of anything. And he would mm-hmm. say stuff and it would make me laugh. Like, there's something about his timing and his face mm-hmm. and yeah. his every dude looks.
Yeah, his expression, you know, when he's in the background of things, he's still acting, you know, even when he's not the front and foremost thing in the scene.
And so you guys maintain he's some kind of weird hybrid of something, because he didn't seem he was Skywalker. Outdoors all the time. He was whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, he's you know, he was walking around during daylight. He didn't. I guess turning into goop and. sand when he was stabbed in the chest with a stake. I don't understand that, but what the cross didn't even have any effect on him. So
even
when there was faith behind it, brr.
which really made me feel like he was actually even more powerful than the main vampire, Jerry. Which I was like, why is he taking care of Jerry?
He certainly is for 12 hours a day. He's more powerful. Yeah.
No, I agree. I think to answer your question about the green goo sand thing at the end was just really to have a cool effect in the movie. That sort of stuck with you, and that was pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. I looked like a mess, but it was still pretty cool. Here's a good case of angry acting, and it is, of course, our main character, Charlie.
They did kill a girl over there.
How late did you stay up studying?
Mom, I'm not sick! The guy did have fangs, and a bat did fly over my head, and a second later, he stepped out of the shadows. Now, don't you see what that means?
Wait, let me guess. What?
He's a vampire.
Bah, Charlie.
Charlie.
Yeah, he's a spaz.
I love that. I love the fact that, I don't know if you caught this or not, but like 5 minutes later, he tells her about her nightmare. Was y'all disturbed with that by that, or was that just me?
Does she have, who, the mom?
The mom. She's like, she says, well, you know, I think maybe it was the later scene, but she's something like she had a nightmare.
Yeah.
And so that he must have been having a nightmare too. And she remembered it was bad because she was dreaming that she was stark naked. And I was like, why would you tell your son that?
Yeah. Oh, right. I blocked that out. I blocked it out.
Yeah.
Because that was a terrible thing to hear from your mother, even if it's not my mother.
If it's not your mom, a mom type.
I still blocked it out.
It's a terrible thing to hear from the actress who's 12 years older than you, who's playing your mother.
This is true.
Good point.
Oh, hey. Here we go. So while that was going on, I did a quick search. Apparently, the novel that this is based on by John Skip and Craig Spector says that the vampire brings him back to life after they shoot him, and that's when he becomes a zombie and kind of under that extra control. So prior to that, he's just a regular dude. Watcher.
He's a servant dude.
Servant dude. Yep. Okay. Regular human dude.
Weird. We have two movies back to back that have a servant person that just takes care of the demon.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Spoiler. Nobody wants vampire hunters anymore. That according to Roddy McDowall.
I have just been fired because nobody wants to see vampire killers anymore, or vampires either. Apparently all they want are demented madmen running around in ski masks, hacking up young virgins. Now, if you would excuse me.
Love it.
That was absolutely. Good delivery.
That was awesome.
Yeah, he could just be wearing a rubber mask telling the other monkey that I think he thinks for himself. Anyway, I love him.
He's the example of the only guy in the movie who really gets it.
Well, yeah. You know? Yeah, but he's also the only one with any kind of, I don't know,
abilities or powers.
Classic training or, I don't know, you know, he actually acts for a living. Everybody else is either a kid or second rate or whatever, and I don't know. He just classed it up. He classed up that joint. According to the trivia I read, the job was up for someone else that now I can't remember.
Crap. Mark Hamill?
No, it wasn't Mark Hamill. He was still all beat up from Corvette Summer. I can't remember. That's a freebie for our blog guy. I can't remember. Dang it. I thought I wrote that down.
Playing the Roddy McDowall character, right?
Yeah.
A different actor?
Shoot.
A different actor.
It's in the trivia somewhere and I can't find it. I'll let Ibbot look that up while I play the next clip.
Oh, sure. That?
Most important. Oh, no, I'm sorry. More important than an autograph?
I'm afraid this is much more important.
Really?
What could be more important than my autograph?
Saving a boy's life.
Oh, yes, I can see where that could be more important. Perhaps you would care to explain?
Love that scene. Except who would ever, what teenage 15-year-old girl would go, to save a boy's life?
One from the 50s?
Oh, yeah.
Theater.
Good point.
But, yeah. Did you guys think that it was really weird how much things cost in this movie? It was kind of odd. I mean, like you could bribe Evil Ed with $8.
Oh, yeah. And you could bribe the old man for, what was it, $500?
$500 savings bond.
Yeah. Savings bond. I forgot about that. Yeah. When would you use that in real life to like bribe anybody for anything?
A savings bond.
It's like, yeah, if you you knock that, you go kill that guy for me, I'll give you 3 savings bonds. All right. But
I got to come back around to this idea of the only person who really gets it. You know, like we talked about how like in Revenge of the Nerds, Curtis Armstrong was just the only guy who really seemed to understand what his true purpose was and wasn't trying to make a good film out of a bad film and that kind of thing. To steal from David Schmader, the Gina Gershon is the only thing in Showgirls, you know, the only person who understands what her real role is, and everyone else is just doing it wrong.
Randy, from now on refer to this as when we talk about an actor who did that, we're going to say they totally boogered it. I think that's a fair way.
That is,
boogered it.
Yeah,
I think that's fair. And in this case, Roddy McDowall is. It's like if you separated only his acting out of this movie, you would have a good movie, like where he knew what to do, and everything else is like amateur hour, and they're all running into each other.
Yeah, he's the guy's a tradesman. He knows his thing and he just nails it. I mean, even if it's some schlocky crappy teenage horror movie from the 80s, he knows where he's at, he knows what station he's currently working under, but still delivers, you know, the goods. The guy's awesome. He totally boogered this role.
That's awesome.
Sounds negative, but we're gonna use it anyway.
That's right. Yeah.
He's neat. Oh yeah, okay. So back to 50s theater hour. A comment that what's her name next door to Peg?
Marcy,
Amy in this movie.
Amy,
she says she uses a term that I've not heard a teenager use even in my time. Check it out.
Isn't that what vampires are supposed to do, Charlie? Please,
that's a vampire, Brewster.
God, he's neat.
Once again, harken back to the 50s. These characters were supposed to be that way.
Gosh,
I hate that.
Neat.
Best swearing moment in the film I captured, 11 seconds worth. At least I thought so. This is a swear and then an insult. It was awesome. Check it out.
Satisfied now.
Mr. Vincent, you have to call the police. Mr. Vincent, shit!
Hey, where are you going, pencil dick?
Whoa! I'm going to make gay porn movies, and you're totally wrong.
You're wrong about the pencil part. Anyway, I love that part.
I'll show you.
I especially like the S-bomb. It's just funny how he said it.
Yeah.
It's like he's not even done saying the guy's name and he has to come out with it. So good job, Charlie. We like that one. Let's see. Oh, this is where Evil gets it. Gets bitten. That is not a metaphor for something. That's his name.
He gets it.
And then they hear the screams and they kind of ignore it, or at least Amy does. And I thought her reaction was funny.
What was that?
It was just Evil messing around again. Cut it out, Evil! It's not funny!
Not funny!
Anyway.
Oh, I love that.
I like that too. I mean, that made my favorite scene with her in it.
Not funny. Did everybody, I kept thinking, I thought his name was Evil, but it keeps sounding like you're saying Evo.
No, it's Evil.
Right. His name is Evil Ed.
Yeah, Evil Ed, according to all the credits anyway. But yeah, you're right. She had a weird, like, what accent is that? Let me play this again and just, let's tear it apart.
Okay. What was that?
It was just Evil messing around again. Cut it out, Evil!
Cut it out, Evil!
I mean it!
It's the kind of accent. It's the kind of accent that a 27-year-old does when they want to sound like a high school girl.
Oh,
that's I was going to say it sounded like suburban Chicago to me, like someone from like Rockford, Illinois.
You're probably right. But yeah, the whole thing ridiculous. Okay, Abbott, here's the big question for you. This is our final clip and a question for you about what I'm hearing here. You have to explain. Check it out. All right, who are we hearing?
You are hearing Sparks, a band that started out in California. Two brothers, Ron and Russell Mail, then went to the UK, had a string of hits over there, tried to recapture that when they came back to the US. And the only song that you probably know by them from a Billboard Hot 100 kind of way is one that they did with Jane Wedlin from the Go-Go's called Cool Places.
Oh, my Lord. You blow my
love
mind.
Love this band. Now, this is, you know, as soon as I heard them in this, because I'd forgotten that they did some soundtrack stuff, and I had to go back through all my singles and stuff like that, EPs, extra tracks, and try and find this track. It's called Armies of the Night, and they re-released it on the Hell Collection, which is a cool CD that's got a lot of their bonus materials, B-sides, things like that, stuff that was recorded for soundtracks and such. But dude, I'm all over Sparks, man.
I am completely beside myself. I'm speechless at the fact that you know all this. In fact, when you come to Nerdtacular 2011, I owe you a big fat
cheeseburger
the minute you get here.
Nice.
Amazing. Nice. My gosh, I had no idea you'd know all that. I thought you'd go, well, I think it sounds like a Flock of Seagulls if you kicked them in the nuts hard. And then
that's Russell Mail, lead vocalist on that group. And if you ever see, you know, these are another couple of guys from the 80s that their videos were so, you know, took their songs and just went so far beyond, because the lead singer is this curly headed guy, kind of looks like, run of the mill lead singer from an 80s band. And then his brother, Ron Mail, is this tall, lanky looking dude with his hair all slicked back and this Hitler mustache, and he plays keyboards and he doesn't make any, you know, he doesn't sing backup. He doesn't make any sounds. He just kind of glares at the camera. And I actually got to meet these guys. My Aunt Deborah worked for Dick Clark.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
Dick
nice.
Clark Productions back in the 80s. And they were the guest on American Bandstand. I get to go see two tapings of American Bandstand back to back. And Sparks was on. Christopher Atkins had just come out with an album, the guy from Blue Lagoon, and Richard Simmons, who had just come out with an Exercise album. So I get to meet the three of them.
You met Richard Simmons?
I met Richard Simmons. I put my hand up to Richard Simmons' hand, and we compared. He's like, put your hand up. And I put my hand up, and he put his hand on mine. And his hand, I was, 14 at the time, and my hand was still bigger than this grown man's hand.
You know what? Your sentence could have gone, I put my hand up his shirt and touched his nipple. Yeah.
Put your hand up here.
The way you described Ron Mail, the physical description, it sounded exactly like you were describing John Waters.
Yeah.
Yeah,
except
totally.
He's got a little pencil
mustache.
If you
replace pencil thin mustache with Hitler mustache.
Yeah.
Man, I'm watching the video now.
Very
I'm watching
similar.
Sparks, number one song.
Number one in heaven. Yeah.
Are those guys all, is it all skinny ties? Is that the era?
Yeah. So it looks like.
Yeah, I love that era. It's ridiculous. Everyone's staring at the camera. It's like this emo without knowing it kind of weird thing they're all into.
Right. But there was a lot of great stuff on the soundtrack. The Fright Night song that came up at the end, I told Tina, oh my God, that sounds like Jay Giles after Peter Wolf left. And sure enough, it was the Seth Justman fronted version of Jay Giles Band after
Giles Band.
Wait, Peter Wolf.
Peter Wolf.
Why am I thinking of Peter? Who's the guy from Bauhaus? Peter Graves.
Peter Murphy.
Peter Graves. What am I saying?
Peter Griffin.
Peter Murphy.
Peter Wolf was the ultimate example of like human onomatopoeia. Like, he actually looks like a wolf.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. And he has a little Peter.
Yeah.
All right. What? All right. So that's it for clips. Let's get on to our Film Sack checklist. And this week we have some good ones. Title with a double meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. It was an old show that now is a real thing. Sort of. Yeah. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What a great line in the movie. Welcome to Fright Night.
For real.
Dumb adults. The mother was just completely dumb as a doornail. What else? Who else was in that?
Adults are stupid.
Dumb cops.
Yep. Cops were terrible.
I ain't glad what you're selling, buddy.
That's right. I wanted to investigate this guy for homicide. Great. I will bring you along into the house.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. That was ridiculous. And that guy's just kind of laughing with the vampire. And Kim said, well, maybe he's just getting glamored. I'm like, sure, we can explain that away, I guess. But why didn't you ever just glamour the kid? Just glamour Charlie if it's so easy. Peeing, barfing, or any of that? No. No, none of that.
No.
Boobies? Yep.
Yep.
Early on and for no reason. Kind of just a reason, just to have them in there. That's really all those were there for. Jerk character has facial hair.
Nobody had facial hair.
The cop did. The cop had a little Hitler stash thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stereotypes, many and throughout. Mm. I feel like dropping that one because all these movies do. Black guy dies first. The cop was, I think, the only black guy I saw, and he didn't die.
He had an opportunity, but no.
Two bouncers in the nightclub / restaurant. And as soon as one of them got waylaid and is laying on the floor, I said, oh, black guy dies first.
You're right. Good eye there, Evan.
I said, well, the hooker kind of died first. I said, yeah, but you don't see it happen.
you put the eye in.
Count it on screen.
Yep. Decapitation? Nope. Stay tuned for next week.
Right? No joke.
Best ever.
Star Trek Connection, the main vampire was in Deep Space Nine. He played Mertis Masser. Yep. David Warner, that is, or not David Warner, excuse me. He's
again, foreshadowing
again. Stay tuned for next week.
You can't help yourself.
myself. No, this guy was a different character, and he's the Humperdinck guy. So, anyway, cool dude there. Because anyone who's in Star Trek is better off in my book. What else here? Sorry, I skipped past bad guy of the theme or sound or song. That's hard to say. I kind of had that every time. Vampires walked in, it would go like that. Kenobi type, it's got to go to who?
Easy, Peter Vincent.
Yeah, but he was so squirrely.
At first. But I mean, he's like, oh, you got to use a steak and oh, holy water and da 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 da.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. He was kind of Yoda-ish when R2-D2 first showed up, yeah. And he just kind of, I must eat your whatever, Slim Jim. I must.
Right.
He was.
Right?
Wasn't it was kinda, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Twix bar or whatever the hell that was. That used to make me hungry. I'd watch Star Wars and see him eat those.
Yeah.
I was like, what is that? Yeah. Anyway, is that animal or robot as comedy relief?
Charlie.
I'd give it to, he's not really an animal. Well, he was later, so we'll give it to Evil.
Evil?
Yeah, sure. Evil is definitely funny.
And he was supposed to be, but oftentimes was only funny in a cringing, terrible sort of way. Kid named Billy Bobby Peter or Buddy or Evil. Yep, got Evil in there.
Or Evil.
Charlie.
What about Charlie?
Charlie's perfect, yeah. I should add
Billy.
That.
There is a Billy.
There was no montage that I can recall.
No, there wasn't.
Yeah, it seems like really. It would have been a good one, like getting stakes ready to put in chests and getting some bullets, silver bullets, extra crosses laid out on a table, fading in and out of that sort of activity. That would have been perfect, but they didn't do it.
Yeah. The nightclub scene was almost like that during the dance, but just a little bit of a miss.
Yeah. And then finally, cave that looks like a vashin.
No caves.
So
no. Got a sweet bookcase that opens up into a secret door in the basement. Crypt. But
yeah,
cave that looks like a vagina. Nope. But bonus chick fight. Not that either. We didn't get that this time either.
No. But there were. We did get some boobies, and they were natural, and they were all right.
Yeah.
Former Playboy Playmate of the Month, I think, and as a prostitute.
You think?
I think.
Boobies. Yes.
Thank you.
Cheeseburger boobies. All right. That's going to do it for our checklist. I love the checklist. We're going to move on now to our 140 characters or less summation of this film. Before we do that, we're going to do an email from a listener.
Ooh.
We're starting to do this week. Every week, we're going to feature one email from a listener. That email to send your feedback to, questions and feedback to, is filmsack@gmail.com. We got one from Christo from South Africa, of all places, who says, hey, film sackers, I'm sure you guys get this often, but I wanted to say thank you so much for giving us this awesome podcast. I have had a pretty bad day today, but after checking up on the last two Film Sack episodes, Jaws 3D and Zardoz, I feel a whole lot better. Just wanted to share that. And thank you guys for all your work you do.
Aww.
So thanks, Christo. Cool name,
thank
too.
Thank you.
Or Tristo? Christo? I don't know. I can't tell. Anyway.
If it's with a CH.
Was it handwritten?
No. It was done. Yeah, it was in a bottle. I found it out on the
handwritten email.
It was really hard to copy and paste when they do it that way.
And I just want to say to the writer of the email, try to treat the prawns a little better. They're not bad people.
Yeah, the prawns are all right.
It's true.
District 10
District 9 is on Netflix streaming.
Yes, it is. Great movie.
Nice.
I love that movie.
Anyway. Hey, how much on the anytime you see these vampire movies, and Tina and I watch True Blood, how often do you want to hear like what the actual audio from them speaking with these big plastic fangs in their mouth, what it really sounds like before they go in an overdub?
Well, Evil sounded pretty bad that way. I thought.
Yeah, it was straight recording of that.
Yeah, that's,
I don't think they overdubbed him.
Yeah, he sounded pretty bad. It's like, hey, what are you doing to my teeth?
Rooster. Got dinner in the oven.
I wouldn't mind hearing the True Blood people do that just because it would wipe those smirks off their face.
I wouldn't mind every single one of the True Blood people dying in a nuclear holocaust.
Different topic, different show, but I'm with Randy, dude. I cannot get that show to enjoy me enjoy it.
Well, it's like somebody read these great gritty books and then said, you know what? All right, so let's take this really cool, smart character and make her a total dumbass. Mm-hmm. And then they just went downhill from there.
Yeah, well, I don't like her anyway, but just the, I don't know. I don't like that show. We'll talk about a different show. This is not the show for TV. But it is the show for putting things in the comment thread for that one guy. So there you go, another freebie.
There you go. Plus, I need an extra minute to write my Twitter.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Well, then I better start with, let's start
did
this.
Did you do your checklist?
Yeah. Oh, I did checklist. What are you talking about?
Oh, you did your list. Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, what you missed. That's what I was going to ask. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'll do that in a minute. But I'm going to do you. I'm going to do you first, Brian.
Oh, okay.
And by day, by night. What was it?
Anyway. I don't know how to take that.
Brian right, Dunaway, give us your Twitter feed. What do you got?
Bright Night, best horror / comedy about vampires this side of the 80s. Wait, vampires can turn into wolves?
Don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs.
And also, we got
one. I just realized that I didn't like the movie. Like, you're about to ask me to do my Twitter post, and I realize I didn't like the movie.
I'm kind of with you. So let's do you now. Randy Jordan, what do you got?
Fright Night, 80s hair, 80s music, 80s wacky acting by 20-somethings in high school. If only it had had 80 minutes of not... suck.
Oh, see, I thought you were gonna say, nice. I was gonna say, Fright Night. I did not like this movie. And finally,
no,
I think
that was
he's
mine.
Is oh, the, he uses word for word. Brian Ibbett, what do you got?
Fright Night. It's what you would get if the Porky's guys tried to make True Blood.
Oh, that's exactly damn right.
That is
at least
right,
the booby part and looking through holes to see stuff. So there you go. I would like to tell people what I learned while you were all out yelling at the top of your lungs for 90 minutes.
Do it.
Sorry, I don't like yelling on podcasts, but I had to do it. I hate doing what I have to do. Here's what you missed. Oh, I overwrote what you missed.
Uh-oh.
Oh, crap. It got completely destroyed.
So what you missed, Aaron, while you were gone is... why do vampires keep so much wooden furniture around in their basement?
Yes.
Does every wall in the garage have a window?
Yeah, we're going to ad-lib this.
Keep going.
You missed. What the heck? How do you lock a coffin from the inside? That makes no sense.
If you stand straight up in a coffin when you've been stuck with a stake, that's going to scare the hell out of me.
Vampires should like to wear cable knit sweaters.
Did you know that a vampire's heart is actually kept between his rib cage and his left arm? That's where you should put the stake.
These are better than anything I had. So you just solved my problem. I don't know what I did. I pasted over to the top of it with this guy's email. Damn you, Christo!
Nice.
Well, you do what you can.
Be nice to prawns.
Yeah, so there you go. Be nice to prawns. That is what we've learned today, and we've learned a lot more. I want Scott Fletcher to sum it up, though. He's got a couple of quotes, some good ones. A few, in fact. So we'll just play the first one. Just keep ripping right through these. Here you go.
Mrs. Brewster, my God, the phone lines have been cut.
Indeed. And then my favorite of the group.
You want chicken, man. You go someplace else.
I don't remember that when that
mean?
Was said.
I remember that.
I don't remember.
That. I was like, what the crap does that mean?
I don't
when know. When did he say that?
I don't
that,
remember.
That was the bouncer.
Oh.
I'm like, is that some kind of reference to like,
that's girl. Right. Oh, yeah. The bouncer said it, and at the time I went, okay, dude, whatever, man. You're about to die probably anyway.
That's right.
You shouldn't have said that.
This makes me want to get a recorder and go to like a shrimp truck and ask them for chicken. You know, just
totally
see what they say.
And then they'll say this.
You want chicken, man. You go someplace else.
That's exactly what they'll say at the Chinese chicken truck. And then finally, quote number three from the amazing Scott Fletcher.
Kill him, Charlie, before I turn you into a vampire and give you a hickey.
Okay.
I think that was improv, but I liked it.
No, that was in the movie.
Was that in the movie? I don't remember.
Yeah, yeah, you remember when, Evo? He was he pretended
Evo.
Like he was.
Oh, Evil did it.
Evil, yeah, like he acted like he got bit.
Oh, yeah, just sitting there in the alley, and
you know why I didn't hear that? Because that was the scene where I said, "Evil, cut it out!" All right. That's going to do it. Thank you, Scott Fletcher, and thank you, everybody, who stayed and listened for this entire show. Fright Night was the movie. We really enjoyed it. Don't forget, next week, we are covering the film The Omen, the original 1976 The Omen, starring, I forgot his name already, starring
Gregory Peck.
A very handsome Gregory Peck.
I would say so, yeah. Looked great, I thought. I'm going to go out on a limb and say the first Gregory Peck film I've ever seen.
Really?
I don't think I've ever seen another Gregory Peck film. I'm probably wrong.
To Kill a Mockingbird?
Oh, shoot. I forgot about that. Yep. I've seen him in that.
What to say?
You know what? It's a modern era Gregory Peck that I didn't see much.
Yeah. You didn't see much of him.
But he was great. We'll talk about that next week. So The Omen coming up very, very soon. You guys want to make sure to tune into that. Don't forget to visit the site, filmsack.com. As always, the email is filmsack@gmail.com. And on Twitter, we can be found at twitter.com/filmsack. Leave us a review on iTunes. That always makes us happy. Scott Fletcher may even record you a special greeting. Actually, not at all. I shouldn't make promises like that. He will do none of the sort. But we'd love nice reviews. We'd love to read those and see what you guys are thinking about the show. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next week.
Me.
Nice going, Brewster.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.